We're ready for these kinds of things.
We were out there with booms to prevent the spill from expanding.
We were responsible for protecting and monitoring the sensitive wetlands.
I also remember the moment that same guy came up to me and said, I don't know what we would have done if they hadn't called the guard up.
Learn more about how you can protect your friends, families, neighbors, and the environment. Everything that makes up your community. Go to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Louisiana National Guard, aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Injured in an accident? Call Creed & Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubuque Ruston Monroe, 97.7.
It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show is also brought to you by O'Neill Gas, Brister's Smokehouse, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Ideal Portable Buildings, and Scott Seafood. Text us on the Fairway Carts text line at 888-993-7762. Here's your host, Ben Carlisle.
Welcome in to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm your host, Ben Carlisle, joined once again in studio by my co-host, Sutton Davison, Louisiana Tech. SMU in the inaugural DXL Frisco Bowl tomorrow night, 7 p.m. is when kickoff is set for, and the game will be broadcasted on ESPN. Sutton, it's finally here. We've been waiting for 3 weeks. Finally, we get to see the Dogs take the field for one final time in 2017.
Yeah, it's going to be good. I think this team has a lot to prove going into, you know, a bowl game after a what some would say would be a disappointing 6-6 season, but this isn't a team that is ready to roll over yet, and I'm excited to see them do their thing at the first ever Frisco Bowl, just short 3.5-hour drive away.
Yeah, storylines are wild and crazy heading into this game with former Louisiana Tech head coach Sonny Dykes taking over as the head man at SMU. He'll take on Skip Holtz's Louisiana Tech squad, like Sutton mentioned, that finished 6-6 on the year. There's a lot of turmoil around the SMU program with how things are going. Just to add a little bit to that, SMU will be without their starting right tackle, who will miss the game due to suspension. His name's Bryce Wilds. He will be out due to suspension. And then redshirt freshman Jacob Tudara will get the start for SMU at right tackle. So potentially, that right there is a game changer for a Tech defensive line that's going to need to get some pressure on SMU quarterback Ben Hicks.
Yeah, we've talked about it a lot this year, how the Tech defensive line is one that is full of playmakers, and you know, they haven't necessarily lived up to the full potential that we know they're capable of. And so I'm looking for guys like Jalen Ferguson and Deldrick Canty to come up big and put pressure on Ben Hicks, who we both know will be under a lot of stress in this game. I mean, he's probably going to be calling most of the plays.
Absolutely.
At the line of scrimmage. Sonny Dykes, I think, mentioned that he's arguably the first player coach in NCAA history. Obviously, he said that in jest, but it's true. Ben Hicks will be, you know, the guy making a lot of the calls for SMU, and with a lot of things spinning around in his head, it'll be really beneficial for Tech to get pressure on him and force him into make bad decisions early.
Yeah, I think like you talked about with Hicks calling the plays, I think it was actually announced that grad assistant, former Tulsa quarterback, I know we were talking about a little bit before the show, G.J. Kinney, will actually be
he's scripting out the
quotes, the play caller.
Yeah, which is another crazy thing. You know, Sonny Dykes comes in here less than a week ago and says he wants to coach in the game. Obviously, you know, they didn't have a coach, so it makes sense. But he's going to turn it over to grad assistant G.J. Kinney and say, hey, go call the plays and, you know, get yourself a job or maybe earn a better one here. And,
yeah.
And I read that G.J. Kinney said, you know, he's going to script out the plays from upstairs and he'll have kind of the running script, but that Ben Hicks will have a lot of freedom at the line to make calls, make adjustments himself. And he's a veteran guy, a redshirt junior quarterback that you know, is prepared to do that. But I think, like we just talked about, the more pressure Tech puts on him, I think the more mistakes he's prone to make with all of that information, you know, and pressure going on in his head.
Yeah, tomorrow night, Louisiana Tech has a tremendous opportunity to pick up their fourth consecutive bowl victory, their fourth consecutive winning season. And not to be overshadowed by the bowl game tomorrow night, It's also the beginning of the early signing period. It'll be National Signing Day. The early signing period's new to college football. It'll run from tomorrow, December 20th, through December 22nd. Tech has 15 commitments in this class. The staff has been working diligently, you know, really ever since the UTSA game. I know they've been on the road for the early part of weeks, particularly on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, before getting back into Ruston and practicing with the team on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So, you know, it's going to be a busy day. I know you and I, our other co-host Beck Haynes, will be on the road to Frisco tomorrow. But as always, BleedTechBlue.com is the place to be when you're looking for Louisiana Tech signing day news, and we'll have it covered throughout the day.
Yeah, the fax machines will be rolling all day tomorrow, and like you said, not to be overshadowed. Early signing period is an exciting time for
signing
Louisiana
day
Tech.
In general is just.
Absolutely.
It's one of the most special days in all of college football.
It's kind of like the NFL draft for college
football.
Absolutely. And it makes you, you know, it's got some emotion attached to it. These kids are, you know, making commitments, you know, that could change their lives. And it's fun to watch as a non-sports fan, but as someone who covers it for a living, it'll be an exciting day for us. And then obviously to finish it off with a great football game in Frisco, it's going to be a great day.
Yeah, it is. And just, you know, a little more on those 15 commitments. You can join us at BleedTechBlue.com for just $9.95 a month. I've caught up with all 15 commitments, got their thoughts on where they stand, what they looked for within the Louisiana Tech program when they made their commitment, and whether or not they will sign tomorrow. That's not to be overshadowed. You know, I'll be
committed doesn't mean signed.
Absolutely. And I'll be straight up honest with you. There's some kids that have backed away from signing tomorrow. So be sure to tune in to BleedTechBlue.com for all the latest. And just one, you know, quick thing I want to get to before we get moving with, you know, what's coming up later in the show. He's been talked about in this area for the last couple of weeks. A.J. Carter, running back out of Manny High School. He's previously committed to UCLA before opening up his commitment when Chip Kelly took over. He will make his, you know, you can call his verbal commitment, whatever. He'll be signing tomorrow at 1:30 p.m. in the afternoon. He's down to Louisiana Tech, Southern Miss, and Arizona State. I actually caught up with him right before we went on the air, so be sure to tune to BleedTechBlue.com and see where the Bulldogs stand on the talented running back from Manny High School.
That's exciting for Louisiana Tech. You don't see on ESPN a lot of Louisiana Tech hats on the table.
He's on it.
For kids to pick from, and it's cool to see, you know, a guy with that kind of pedigree, you know, be considering Tech. And this is a class with a lot of kids with pedigree. You look at Maurice Wren, the wide receiver / athlete / do-it-all guy from
Mesquite,
Texas. Horn. Is
Mesquite Horn, yeah.
Mesquite Horn, yeah. That's a guy that they're excited about, and he's not going anywhere. He will sign tomorrow.
Yeah,
so
he's legit. He's probably as legit of a recruit that Tech has been able to haul in quite some time.
Yeah, he'll be this year's darling, you know, as if everything goes according to plan, and he'll be a guy that Louisiana Tech fans can watch for a long time. So, like Ben said, keep with us tomorrow on Twitter at BleedTechBlue, on Facebook at BleedTechBlue, and then obviously on our site, BleedTechBlue.com. We'll have every update as they come in, minute by minute, from national early signing period tomorrow.
Absolutely. And as always, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear from our listeners. You can text us on the Fairway Carts hotline at 888-993-7762. Or if you'd like to, we'd love to hear from you. You can give us a call on the Fairway Carts hotline at 888-993-7762. We'd love to hear what you have to say, your thoughts on Louisiana Tech's bowl matchup with SMU, along with your thoughts on the early signing period. Speaking of the early signing period, we'll have Nick Kruger, Rivals regional recruiting analyst out of Texas, join us in the next segment to break down some of Louisiana Tech's signing class, particularly the players from the Texas area. I talked to him earlier today, and I know he's especially excited about a guy that Sutton just mentioned in Maurice Wren, another teammate of Wren's, defensive back B.J. Williamson, and then Tech's lone quarterback commit, Aaron Allen, out of Missouri City, Texas, in the Houston area. So it'll be always nice to catch up with him. And then coming up at 8 o'clock, we'll catch up with a good friend of Sutton and ours. He's known to Bulldog fans everywhere.
He's iconic.
He's an icon. Just call him what he is.
Yeah, Teddy Allen will join us. He's, you know, the part of the team that you hear every week on Louisiana Tech football. He and Dave Nitz bring you the call every week. We're excited to have Teddy, a great friend of the show, come in and give us an update on how things have been going in Frisco and what we can look forward to tomorrow night.
Absolutely. And then, you know, just another thing happening around Conference USA. I know Florida Atlantic's currently playing in the Boca Raton Bowl, where they lead Akron 14-3 just before halftime.
That one shouldn't be close.
No, I expect Florida Atlantic to run away with it and have their 11-win season, first one in program history. But how about Lane Kiffin, 10-year contract extension today?
Yeah, you got to think that this is the ultimate troll move from Lane Kiffin. I think you know, you and I both know he won't be there for 10 years. And that's the thing that I think we can get to later in the show, is that no college football contract really means what it says it means. Years and money don't matter, when, especially when you're at a, you know, G5 school and looking to get a P5 job. You're not going to stay for 10 years. I think what Lane Kiffin is doing is giving, you know, the perennial middle finger to everyone who says that he – you know, isn't for real at Florida Atlantic, or that it's a stopgap for him. And I think he really is passionate about what he's done over there. And, you know, whether he stays for one more year or 10 more years, it's kind of his way of saying, I told you I would finish what I started, and you're going to be jealous of what we've got going on down here. But you and I both know he'll get poached.
Oh, yeah, he'll get poached, whether it's next year or the year after that. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how all the money works out when the deal does come out, as far as a buyout and, you know, those such things. But nonetheless, Lane Kiffin has signed a 10-year contract extension.
And he's sitting at home laughing about it right now.
Or tweeting.
Yeah, probably tweeting about it.
He does love to tweet. We talked a little bit last week about how the early part of bowl season was all about Conference USA, and it has been. When you look at elsewhere in the New Orleans Bowl, Troy wrapped up an 11-2 season where – quite frankly, they just whooped North Texas up and down the field in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome and won by a score of 50-30. One that I found quite interesting, and it's real interesting to see where this Western Kentucky program is headed. I know Mike Sanford had a tough job this year at Western Kentucky, replacing Coach Brohm and all that he did for the program. But Western Kentucky falls to an average Georgia State team out of the Sun Belt, 27-17. I was particularly impressed with Marshall. They win the New Mexico Bowl over the Mountain West as Colorado State, 31-28, and wrap up their season at 8-5 overall. A nice turnaround for Doc Holliday's squad. And then the final Conference USA team to play early on in this bowl season, Middle Tennessee defeated Arkansas State 35-30 in the Raycom Media Camellia Bowl. So, you know, overall, Conference USA is 2-2. I think you'll see Florida Atlantic bring it to 3-2 after tonight. I see that Florida Atlantic has just scored another touchdown to go up 21-3 before the half.
Sounds about right.
You're about to see Lane Kiffin run this one up tonight.
Yeah, for sure, and as he should, and as we wouldn't expect anything less. But I'm surprised by Western Kentucky's downfall this year. I think, you know, they're a darling of the conference that we see every year, you know, at the top of the list, and, you know, a team you don't want to go to Bowling Green and face. But to see them, you know, downtrend the way they have, I know they lost Coach Brohm. I know they're kind of in a different headspace as far as coaching goes. But that's a talented program that really has underachieved this year, and they finish it off in true Western Kentucky fashion in their bowl game, you know, falling the way they did.
Yeah, and I know they lost some talent with Tywan Taylor going to the NFL, playing with the Tennessee Titans. You look at Nicholas Norris moving on. You look at Anthony Boo Wells, who I think he had 30 touchdowns a year ago. They did lose some talent, but when you return Mike White at quarterback, you have to expect to keep everything running, you know, as is, and it just didn't happen. And we saw it a year ago at Southern Miss before Jay Hobson turned things around this year. So, you know, from a conference perspective, hopefully Sanford gets it turned around. I know the rivalry between Louisiana Tech and Western Kentucky has really turned into a nice rivalry the past, you know, three years or so.
Yeah, and you always want your conference to do well to get, you know, national attention. But at the same time, those are the teams you want to beat the most. And so it'll be nice to have Western Kentucky back to form, hopefully next year, and get that rivalry back to where it's been.
Absolutely. And so just, you know, let's take a little bit more look before we get to our first break. I know this first segment's running a little long due to us coming on the air a little later. But, you know, Louisiana Tech, SMU, I think SMU's currently a four-point favorite in this game. Kind of your thoughts on the line. I personally think it's about right. I think it, you know, might be a little low, but that's not to be said that I don't think Tech's going to come out and play really well. I just think when you look at the offensive numbers SMU has put up, that they should probably be a touchdown favorite in this ballgame.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, and I know we'll get into more position by position breakdown later in the show. But just looking from a objective perspective, SMU is a team that has the offensive firepower that we're used to seeing at Tech in the past couple of years. They essentially look a lot like the 2015 Louisiana Tech Bulldogs.
Absolutely.
With, you know, Ben Higgins looks a lot like 2015, 2016.
Ben Higgins, not Ben Higgins of The Bachelor.
Wow, Ben Higgins of The Bachelor. It might be a good you know, replacement. Hey, can he call plays?
Sutton and I will shamelessly admit that we watched The Bachelor.
It's quality entertainment. The only thing is Ben has a wife and I don't, so it makes a little more sense for him. I just like high drama television personally.
Absolutely.
But if Ben Higgins is out there and he can call plays, SMU is looking for a guy. So yeah. Ben Higgins, Ben Hicks.
Hey, if you're in the Dallas area.
Well, yeah, seriously. But anyway, Ben Hicks looks a lot like 2016 Ryan Higgins as far as his numbers and stats. Now, obviously, Ryan Higgins led the country in passing, and Ben Hicks didn't quite do that. But the thing I'm talking about most is their receiver duo of Courtland Sutton and Trey Quinn. It looks a lot like Carlos Henderson and Trent Taylor. Both are a little bigger than Carlos Henderson and Trent Taylor, but both of those guys will be day one and two picks in the NFL draft this year.
Great observation with day one and two picks in the NFL draft. You and I were talking about that before the show. These guys, granted, we're not going to be pulling for SMU tomorrow night, but they will be fun to watch. They're extremely talented from their receiver position, and I'm excited to see how Tech can slow them down. I know it'll provide a big test for a freshman cornerback, Amik Robertson. It'll provide a big test for a sophomore quarterback, Legarius Sneed. So it'll be interesting to see how Tech fares against a quality receiving core that SMU has.
Yeah, and, you know, something that a little fun detail that maybe isn't so fun is that you know, Trey Quinn, at one time, after he was announced that he was transferring away from LSU, was visiting Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, he did visit Tech.
And thinking pretty seriously about committing. So maybe one that got away for Louisiana Tech, but he won't be the only familiar face Tech will be looking across the sideline at tomorrow night. We'll get more into Sonny Dykes and what it looks like for this team to face their old coach as he takes over the SMU program when we come back. Until then, stay with us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7. We'll be right back.
Wopo Tire Service has been a proud Tech sponsor for over 60 years. When Tech hits the court, it's game on. This weekend, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the knowledgeable staff at Wopo Tire get you safely to and from the game. With brake repair, alignment, computer diagnostic, plus all your major brands of tires, including Michelin and BF Goodrich. Wopo Tire Service Superstore, a name you can trust. Ruston, West Monroe, or visit WopoTire.com.
At First National Bank, part of being the uncommon bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, medcamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
For years, serious hunters around here have gotten close to that big buck on a Bad Boy Buggy from Fairway Carts in Minden. Well, Bad Boy Buggy has a new name, Textron Off-Road, still committed to providing the same power, range, and stealth you demand. Textron off-road side-by-sides are whisper quiet, have plenty of distance for wherever you hunt, excellent steering, and deliver a great ride. Hey, you just need to come test ride one to see for yourself. And you can count on Fairway Carts to have the selection you want and always make you a great deal. 2018 models are rolling in, so remaining 17s are priced to move with big rebates and low-interest financing with approved credit. Talk with Larry about a sweet Fairway Carts deal on the one you want most and find out how much you'll save. All the reasons you want a bad boy buggy now wrapped up in a new name, Textron Off-Road. Trailer yours home from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 800-960-CART or go to fairwaycarts.net.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio right here on Sports Talk 97.7. We are joined now currently on the Fairway Carts hotline by Nick Kruger, Rivals Texas recruiting analyst. Nick, how you doing tonight, man?
Good, guys. It's good to be back on the show. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being back. It's good to have you back on. Hey, real quick, before we get into specific players, want to talk really quick just about, obviously, tomorrow, December 20th, starts that early signing period that we'll see this week in college football, a new thing this year. Talk about the advantages and disadvantages of this early signing period. Does it take away a little bit of the drama from actual signing day, or is it something that you think is good for college football to have this early period for guys to go ahead and sign on the dotted line and have that be something that they can move past?
You know, there are a couple of guys that are going to be making some big decisions tomorrow, but I think generally what we see, the really high-profile, really dramatic commitment decisions that we see on TV in February, we're still going to have those. I mean, there's still a lot of guys that just, you know, aren't quite ready to make those decisions quite yet. I mean, the guys that we're seeing sign tomorrow or over the next couple of days largely have been committed for some time. You know, as is the case with Louisiana Tech, especially with the guys from Texas. And from my perspective, I'm looking forward to it because, you know, now there's even fewer guys in February I really need to stress out about, you know.
Great point. You look at the Louisiana Tech class, plenty of familiar faces for you, I know, with Tech really getting into the fertile recruiting grounds in Texas. One name in particular that sticks out, he was highly sought after. I think he has over 30 Division I offers, committed to the Bulldogs back on December the 10th. Maurice Wren, he seems to be an elite athlete. I know he'll play receiver for the Bulldogs. Kind of your thoughts on the big 6'3", 223-pound receiver.
Yeah, you know, the first time I saw Maurice's film, you know, I thought this guy is a guy that could possibly project as a tight end. But he moves better than that. He's not quite that big. I don't think he's gonna grow into that position. Could probably play a little bit of H-back. But, you know, we saw earlier when he was committed to Arkansas, they wanted him to play outside linebacker. You know, he's got such a quick get-off, and he actually is a pretty good pass rusher. But I know personally he wanted to be a pass catcher. He wanted to be a wide receiver. And when you take a look at the way that Louisiana Tech was able to get into Mesquite Horn this year and make some inroads and get a lot of his teammates committed in the class, I think between the opportunity to play receiver at Louisiana Tech and plus having some friends that have been longtime commits with the program, I think it was an easy decision for him.
Yeah, Nick, you mentioned the pipeline that Mesquite Horn has kind of become for Louisiana Tech this year. I look at B.J. Williamson and Broderick Calhoun, a couple of, you know, really quality defensive backs from there. B.J. Williamson, obviously a longer guy at around 6'2", and then Broderick Calhoun, kind of your average corner size, sitting around 5'11". Both those guys have, you know, the ability to come in and play right away in a Louisiana Tech secondary that's young, inexperienced, and really kind of operates in a revolving door type of format. So you talked about it. Maurice Wren comes, joins his buddies at school. But talk about these two DBs a little bit and what we can look for from them.
Man, I think you guys are really going to like them once they start getting some playing time out there. You know, you mentioned Broderick's a little more on the slender side. I don't think he's too short to play cornerback, you know, but he's very scrappy. He's really tough. He likes to get his nose in there and make a hit, try and rip the ball. and find creative ways to bring guys down. I've seen him run all the way across the field to make tackles. You know, and he's a guy that we saw in the spring, has obviously had some pretty good pass coverage skills as well. DJ Williamson, on the other hand, is more of a bigger guy, somebody that when you look at him, you instantly think this guy's a safety. But I think, you know, I think on a, you know, maybe not on quite such a quick twitchy level as Broderick Calhoun, but definitely has the coverage skills and the press skills, to be a physical cornerback. And you'll see him, you know, maybe in the red zone, or big nickel situations. He can line up in the slot and, you know, redirect some guys and press some guys and make things difficult for people. But both guys, I think, are really fine defensive backs and guys that, you know, if you're looking at a little bit of, need a little bit of depth in the secondary, these guys are definitely the guys that can come in and potentially push for playing time early.
And Nick, looking, you know, staying on the defensive side of the football, DJ Jackson, I think he is one of probably my favorite commit for Louisiana Tech. He committed to Tech way back in March after he visited for Tech's junior day. Just watching his film at 6 foot, 260 pounds, I know he's going to play defensive end for the Bulldogs, but this kid has some elite athletic ability. I see that he's played some running back in high school, and he can really run the football as well. So talk a little bit about what the Bulldogs are getting from the defensive end and kind of his athletic ability as well.
I laughed out loud watching his highlight film. To see somebody, you know, his size, playing running back and breaking away from the pack and, you know, playing all the different positions that he did, it's really funny to see in a good way. I mean, obviously he's athletic and entertaining, and he's got an entertaining personality too. I remember, I went to a media day with, kind of a training group that he participates with and, a study group that he participates with. So he's kind of on the straight and narrow there with the stuff in the classroom. But, you know, just a lot of personality. And when you look at his film, you can see it all just kind of goes together, hand in hand. And I think when you guys look at the press conferences after games in the locker room, he's going to be the guy that's going to be giving you the quotes. And that energy that he brings, you know, for somebody who's not, quite as long as most defensive ends, you know, to play with the energy that he does, the strength, the explosion, and all those sorts of things. I think that's where he kind of makes up for some of the other physical differences we see from most guys at the position, but definitely somebody who I think can be an effective player as well.
Nick, switching over to the offensive side of the ball, Louisiana Tech has kind of been a school for the last 3 or 4 years that's really leaned on fifth-year transfer quarterbacks to lead their teams. You look at guys like Cody Sokol and Jeff Driscoll, who have come in their fifth year and from big Power 5 schools like Florida and Iowa and really just stepped in and done the job. And then this year, you've got a guy like Jamar Smith, who was recruited by Skip Holtz and who, you know, has come up in the program. He's obviously only a redshirt freshman, but, he's had a tough year. He's had kind of the growing pains that we haven't seen in a while. You know, we have guys coming in who are experienced already. And you look at a guy like Aaron Allen out of Missouri City, Texas, from Ridge Point. And you know, it's not a huge guy, 6 foot, 175 pounds, but has some, you know, impressive offers on the table. And you know, just about every Conference USA school has offered him. And so I'm wondering, what do we know about Aaron Allen and what kind of quarterback play can we look for from Louisiana Tech for the next couple of years in him?
Well, you know, with Aaron, I think, that's, you know, the amount of playing time that he gets or his ability to push other guys on the roster is really going to be up to him. I think he's actually a baseball guy too. So, definitely an athletic kid. And when you look at the way that Ridge Point's season this year, you know, some of the bigger names on that team may not have all the stats that you would expect for guys to be ranked as they did, because in a lot of games, you know, they were just very successful early. Didn't have to play all four quarters. But he's a guy that throws a really nice ball, makes really sound decisions, approaches the game. You know, he's got a very calm demeanor and approaches the game in a similar fashion. And I think when you add in the fact that, you know, he's a guy that obviously is involved with, you know, other sports and just kind of is ingrained in the culture of what it takes to, you know, to be dedicated to your craft and come in and work hard. You know, I think you're going to start to see that, you know, he's going to be a guy that, you know, is definitely built to play the quarterback position, and you know, makes those real pretty throws downfield. I know you guys like to put up points out there and get the ball downfield, and he's a guy that can deliver that.
And looking at the final offensive player, final question for you before we let you get out of here, Elijah Hines, running back out of Port Arthur, not the biggest guy in the world at 5'9", 171 pounds, but he's just a playmaker when he gets the ball in his hands. Tell Louisiana Tech fans out there what they can expect from the speedy playmaker.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Elijah, you know, Port Arthur, you know, kind of that area southeast of Houston, I think generally speaking is pretty under-recruited when you look at the rest of, you know, the Houston area at large, and it's a big area for sure. But, you know, Elijah is a guy, you know, after watching his junior film, showed a lot of explosion, a lot of, you know, a lot of shimmy, a lot of wiggle, an ability to put jukes and moves on guys. And I think this past year, looking at how he played this year, you know, it wasn't quite the same sparkle I saw, you know, potential wise from his junior film, but still very effective. I think he's actually added a little bit more toughness to his game. We saw him in the spring, you know, when he came out to the rival camps that we hold, these drills that we put the running backs through are definitely more pass oriented than they are anything simulating any sort of run or contact. We don't want these guys to get hurt, obviously, but a great pass catcher too. I mean, we had him ranked as an all-purpose back, you know, coming out of his junior season as well. So just a guy that's going to be able to do it all. I think despite his size, I think he's going to run with toughness and is going to be able to get some yards between the tackles as well. And, you know, just another fine piece for this class, I think.
Nick Kruger, great stuff from you, Nick. Texas recruiting analyst for Rivals.com. Appreciate you joining us back on the show. Look forward to having you on again, maybe in February and then also next fall as we get ready for next year's early signing period. But we will talk to you soon, Nick. Thanks for joining us and have a great night.
You bet, guys. Thanks.
Nick Kruger, Texas recruiting analyst. Some great stuff. And, you know, I've been preaching it, you know, for quite a few weeks leading up to this early signing period. You know, Tech has a lot of talent in this recruiting class. And I mentioned to Nick that DJ Jackson's probably my favorite recruit in this class. When I tell you he's 6'260", he's every bit of 6'260". And when he gets the ball in his hands at running back, he runs downhill and he can run you slap over. But we'll see. He'll be a defensive end at Louisiana Tech. And I'm excited to see most of these guys put pen to paper tomorrow morning when they sign with the Bulldogs.
Yeah, absolutely. DJ Jackson should be a fun one to have around the program. Seems like a great kid and one that could end up being a captain-type player one day. When we come back, we will preview Louisiana Tech versus SMU in the DXL Frisco Bowl. We'll go position by position, break down each matchup, and who gets the nod at each position. So stay with us right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7. We'll be right back.
Our model year end closeout is going strong. This is Steve Brennan with Brennan Dodge, and our big finish to 2017 is full of huge savings. You'll save 25% off MSRP on remaining 17 Ram 1500 Crew Bighorns. That's a savings of over $11,700. Save 25% off MSRP on remaining 17 Ram Crew Laramie 4x4s. That's a savings of over $13,600. The last of the 17s are moving quick, so hurry into the big finish of 2017 at Brennan Dodge in Ruston.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank, banking on a first name basis. Uncommon, people, service, and convenience. Uncommon, dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank, beyond banking, with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank, the uncommon bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat. And you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town or at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
Yep, it's hunting season, and you think it's too late to get that new deer stand. Hey, at Ideal Portable Buildings and Trailer Sales, it's never too late. Get a custom-built box stand from Ideal, exactly like you want it, and get a real good price on it, too. Plus, Ideal has the right utility trailer for any hauling you need to do. Haul it, cover it, or store it. Ideal Portable Buildings and Trailer Sales. 699-9426. 699-9426. For years, serious hunters around here have gotten close to that big buck on a Bad Boy Buggy from Fairway Carts in Minden. Well, Bad Boy Buggy has a new name, Textron Off-Road, still committed to providing the same power, range, and stealth you demand. Textron Off-Road side-by-sides are whisper quiet, have plenty of distance for wherever you hunt, excellent steering, and deliver a great ride. Hey, you just need to come test ride one to see for yourself. And you can count on Fairway Carts to have the selection you want and always make you a great deal. 2018 models are rolling in, so remaining 17s are priced to move with big rebates and low-interest financing with approved credit. Talk with Larry about a sweet Fairway Carts deal on the one you want most and find out how much you'll save. All the reasons you want a Bad Boy Buggy now wrapped up in a new name, Textron Off-Road. Trailer yours home from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 800-960-CART or go to fairwaycarts.net.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank, is back on the radio. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Louisiana Tech and SMU set to face off tomorrow night in the DXL Frisco Bowl, kickoff set for 7 p.m. on ESPN. Or you can make the short trip over like Sutton and I are tomorrow to watch the game inside beautiful Toyota Stadium. Sutton, just looking at this game, you and I have talked time and time again about it. There's so many intriguing matchups, and I think we just want to take time this segment to talk about a few of these matchups between Louisiana Tech and SMU. And the first matchup we want to talk about is Louisiana Tech's offensive line versus the SMU defensive line. You know, Tech's been banged up for a majority of the year. We've beat it like a dead horse on the offensive line before they finally got healthy in the final, you know, three games of the year. And then I think you saw, you know, Boston Scott in particular begin to find a lot of running lanes, which led to a really good Tech rushing attack.
Yeah, I think, you know, this is the most important matchup of the game. I think Jamar Smith is a guy that operates best when he has time to throw, when he feels like he can make his progressions and make his reads and find open receivers. And I think we'll get to the receivers in a little bit, but just as important as anything is that Tech offensive line playing as well as they played against UTSA and really providing time for Jamar Smith to do his thing.
Yeah, and looking at the offense and defensive line for Tech offense, SMU defense, probably the biggest matchup maybe of the night's Tech's left tackle, Josh Outlaw, against SMU's strong side defensive end, Justin Lawler. Lawler has 15 and a half tackles for loss from his defensive end spot, 9.5 sacks, 10 hurries, and which to me is astounding, 74 tackles on the year from a defensive end, second on the team. That's a bad SMU defense, but Outlaw's going to have to do a good job of slowing down Lawler, not only for Tech to be able to run the ball, but also, like you said, to give Jamar Smith time to throw in the pocket and find his open receivers throughout the night.
Yeah, and I think, obviously, you mentioned Boston Scott. Boston Scott's going to do what he does, and it's going to be, you know, important for him to take some pressure off of Jamar when the time is right. But we can't overstate enough just how different of a player Jamar Smith is when he has time to throw. And that's any quarterback, really. I watched Tom Brady the other night have time to throw, and he does what Tom Brady does. And any quarterback with confidence is going to do their thing when they have time to throw. And that's important for Jamar to get started early with time in the pocket to find open receivers. But it's important for those big boys up front from Louisiana Tech who have done an amazing job as the season's come to an end. I know we were hypercritical of them for a while, but they've really tuned their game up in a major way and are ready for tomorrow night.
And they've turned into a good unit. We've talked about Boston Scott. We've talked about Josh Outlaw. I think we've left out the other senior on the offense, Jared Kraft. He will return for this game as well. He's been banged up the last few games of the season. So the Bulldog running game should be at full strength along with the offensive line. So as long as they can contain the SMU pass rush, by Justin Lawler and his outside linebacker counterpart, Kyron Mitchell, I think you should see the Bulldogs have some success offensively.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the continuity between this offensive line that has come together in the last couple of weeks is important. You know, they were rotating a lot of guys in at different positions for a bunch of weeks. And there's something to be said about playing as a unit and having your guys that you know are going to be next to you. And once that's kind of been established, this O-line from Louisiana Tech has really, you know, shored itself up in a major way. And I'm excited to see them come out and play well tomorrow night.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the other element of the Tech offense, the Tech wide receivers.
Yeah.
Against, you know, let's be honest, a challenged SMU secondary. They've given up a ton of yards through the air. I know they do have 12 interceptions on the year, but Jamar Smith, for the most part, has done a nice job at protecting the football. One thing that we've been critical of is Tech's lack of ability to create separation in the passing game. And Teddy Veal should be pretty healthy headed into this ball game with him being able to get 3 weeks off. So Teddy Veal, Rasheed Bonnet, Adrian Hardy, Cam McKnight, Javonte Woodard, who else you want to throw out there? We can throw them out there. But I think that if the receivers can get open, they're going to have an opportunity to make some big plays in this game.
Yeah, and these aren't the same Louisiana Tech receivers that we've seen in years past. It's not a receiver group that has one guy that is going to go out and be your guy like a Trent Taylor or a Carlos Henderson. We were lucky enough to have two of them at the same time. But I think you mentioned some names that are important. Teddy Veal has been a leader on this team this year in his first season of eligibility after transferring from Tulane. And then guys like Rasheed Bonnet, you know, undersized, not the biggest guys in the world, but have come up with big plays when necessary. And Rasheed Bonnet's a guy that Jamar Smith loves to find when he gets open near the sideline. And then Adrian Hardy, you know, a guy who with a slightly bigger frame that's been, you know, dependable this year as well. So there are some options. And Sonny Dykes is in the perfect spot at SMU. They don't play defense there, and that goes with his model perfectly. So I'm hoping Jamar can really exploit what looks to be an underwhelming corner group from SMU.
Yeah, and when you look at the corners for SMU, Jordan Wyatt's a guy that really sticks off the page, the junior quarterback out of Wiley, Texas. Four interceptions on the year, 8 pass breakups, 4.5 tackles for loss. So if you're looking for a name to watch in the SMU secondary, be sure to pay attention with Jordan Wyatt. He'll be lined up outside, you know, against the likes of Adrian Hardy and Rasheed Bonnet. Where do you want to go next?
Yeah, let's flip over to the other side of the ball, and we've kind of talked a little bit about the running backs and from Louisiana Tech, so let's flip over to the other side of the ball, and we can't talk about this enough. The SMU wide receivers versus Louisiana Tech DBs. Ben, talk a little bit about kind of what SMU brings to the table in the receiver group, which I know is a lot, and how this young group of Louisiana Tech defensive backs who have earned, you know, some surprisingly impressive honors this year match up to a high-powered offense that might be scrambling a little bit for their identity in this game.
Yeah, Tech defensive backs, when you look at Amik Robertson, sophomore Legarius Sneed, redshirt sophomore Aaron Roberson, another sophomore in Trey Spencer. Then you have the likes of Elliot Blankenship and Demarion King, who will also be seeing time in the box to support the run game, but it will as well have to play the pass. And like you mentioned, they'll be playing against one of the, you know, I'd say one of the better duos in the country, but maybe the best trio in the country. When you look at Trey Quinn, who has 106 catches, nearly 1,200 yards, 12 touchdowns.
Do those numbers sound familiar at all?
Yeah, Trent Taylor all over again.
Just a bigger version.
Yep, Cortland Sutton, future NFL first-round draft pick, 6'4". He's a lot to handle. I know Amik Robertson, while he may be small in stature, I know he's looking forward to this matchup.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm looking forward to this matchup. Cortland Sutton and Trey Quinn are two high-quality talents that we will see playing on Sundays next year. And so it'll be fun for us to watch Louisiana Tech's secondary adjust to playing players of that caliber. Not that, you know, Conference USA doesn't have players of that caliber, but these are two I mean, Courtland Sutton could be a first-round draft pick.
Oh, I think he will be.
And Trey Quinn not far behind. Possibly
if Mel Kiper says you're a first-round, you're a first-round.
Mel's best available.
Absolutely. And then not to be left out, James Prochet, sophomore wide receiver out of DeSoto High School in Dallas. Big play guy.
800 yards from him and 6 touchdowns.
21 yards a catch.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
he's a big play guy.
Yeah, he's that deep threat that Louisiana Tech will have to really look out for. And then let's talk about kind of the while we're talking about skill players, talk about the SMU running backs a little bit and what we can expect. I know they have a 1,000-yard rusher back there as well.
Yeah, Xavier Jones, he's been consistent throughout the year. He's averaging, he's averaging 6 yards a carry. He's just a sophomore out of Spring, Texas, down in the Houston area. He's over 1,000 yards, like I said, 9 touchdowns on the year. And then backing him up will be Keemon Freeman out of Liberty, Iowa, in the Texarkana area. It's a school I'm familiar with. Actually played them on the diamond when I was in high school. Freeman, 11 touchdowns on the year from the backup running back. He's only got 527 yards. That's nothing to shake your head at.
Nice little third down back.
Yep, and then Braden West, junior running back out of Katy, Texas. He looks like a game breaker. 512 yards, only 65 carries, nearly 8 yards a pop. So, you know, SMU, when you look at their 3 wide receivers, you look at the 3-headed monster at running back, it's no secret why Ben Hicks has had so much success at quarterback.
Yeah, and speaking of Ben Hicks, I want to get to him next. I think this is an interesting situation here. Ben Hicks is the only quarterback in college football whose head coach just left, and a new one has come in, and in a week is going to be his head coach in a bowl game. And we've talked about it a little bit at the top of the show.
You do you, Sonny Dykes.
That's right. Sonny Dykes, the new head coach at Southern Methodist, is coming in and essentially has said on record, I'm going to let Ben Hicks teach me this offense for this game. And obviously we know Sonny Dykes will be putting in his air raid next year at SMU. So this is kind of a one-game anomaly type situation where Ben Hicks is essentially going to be the only guy on the staff or otherwise who knows the playbook, you know, as well as anyone else. And you mentioned G.J. Kinney, the grad assistant, is going to formally have the play-calling duties. I think mostly will be scripted out from the box. But Ben Hicks is going to have the opportunity to really make adjustments, kind of like you see from guys like Brady and Roethlisberger on Sundays that – really run that no huddle type offense themselves and check, you know, and make audible calls themselves. Now the question is, can he do that effectively, and will Louisiana Tech capitalize on that type of situation?
Well, and for me, this game goes one of two ways for SMU. Can Hicks handle the pressure or not? If he handles the pressure, I think you're going to see their offense running like a fine-tuned machine. If not, I think it could turn into complete chaos. You might see Sonny Dykes bent over on the sideline, drawing him up in the dirt. Heck, we might see the diamond formation and him run a flea flicker on the dogs early on. We've seen it in Ruston a time or two.
Yeah, I wouldn't count that out. And, you know, a team like SMU with not a lot of identity right now, you know, in complete transition and having to play a football game.
Sonny Dykes knows 4 players.
Yeah, he literally doesn't even know his players' names, seriously. But you know what? Sonny Dykes only runs 4 plays, so it works. And he
doesn't care about defense, so he doesn't really need to know their names anyways.
Yeah, he for sure doesn't know their names. They don't ride on the same bus, and he doesn't know their names. So I think you'll see Sonny Dykes keep the playbook small, which is his thing. But don't you know, sleep on him taking a big shot or two early and often. So the SMU offense is one that I think Louisiana Tech's defense, you know, will have to stay up late tonight preparing for.
Yeah, and so, you know, like we mentioned throughout this segment, there's a lot of intriguing matchups in this game. For me, most important thing, Louisiana Tech needs to come out full of energy. I know the Bulldog faithful will be alive and well. And, you know, start quick, get SMU on their heels, and see what happens. But coming up after the break, we'll talk to Mr. Tech, an icon, Teddy Allen. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
Feed a big hunger on a small budget with the new menu at Scott's Catfish and Seafood. 9 full meals under $10. Every Tuesday night, buy one burger po' boy or quesadilla, get another burger po' boy or quesadilla at half price.
Cool weather's a great time for gumbo and etouffee. And don't forget the catfish and shrimp lunch buffet. No time to dine in? Use the drive-thru and get a family meal starting at $16.99 at Scott's Catfish and Seafood.
Down home cooking from Scott's tonight.
Ruston, West Monroe.
At First National Bank, part of being the Uncommon Bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, medcamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
For years, serious hunters around here have gotten close to that big buck on a Bad Boy Buggy from Fairway Carts in Minden. Well, Bad Boy Buggy has a new name, Textron Off-Road, still committed to providing the same power, range, and stealth you demand. Textron Off-Road side-by-sides are whisper quiet, have plenty of distance for wherever you hunt, excellent steering, and deliver a great ride. Hey, you just need to come test ride one to see for yourself. And you can count on Fairway Carts to have the selection you want and always make you a great deal. 2018 models are rolling in, so remaining 17s are priced to move with big rebates and low interest financing with approved credit. Talk with Larry about a sweet Fairway Carts deal on the one you want most and find out how much you'll save. All the reasons you want a Bad Boy Buggy now wrapped up in a new name, Textron Off-Road. Trailer yours home from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 800-960-CART or go to fairwaycarts.net.
You cheer for your team. You root for your team. You live for your team. You're a Louisiana Tech fan. Your Louisiana Tech Dairy Queen restaurants in Monroe, West Monroe, Ruston, Bossier City, and Shreveport invite you to try our fan food favorites. Locally owned and operated by Louisiana Tech alumni, Dairy Queen is proud of all Louisiana Tech athletes. Come by one of our locations and support the businesses who support Louisiana Tech. Dairy Queen, fan food, not fast food.
Injured in an accident? Call Creed and Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubuque Ruston Monroe, 97.7.
Want to find out stuff about tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Louisiana Tech and SMU set to square off tomorrow night at 7 p.m. in the DXL Frisco Bowl. And joining us on the Fairway Carts hotline to preview the matchup, Louisiana Tech icon and friend of the program, Teddy Allen. How you doing tonight, Teddy?
I'm good. Thanks for asking, Ben. Merry Christmas to you and all your loyal listeners.
Yeah, Teddy, Sutton Davis in here. Great to have you on,
hey,
man.
Hey, Sutton.
How you doing?
Hey, Sutton. I hope Santa brings you a present. I'm doing good.
Hey, thanks. I appreciate that. I'm on a streak of getting cold every year, so I'm hoping for some good stuff this year.
But, I have to, Sutton. You deserve it. You're a good man.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Hey. Really quick, want to get your thoughts. Yep. I know you've talked about this a lot, but this is an interesting game for a lot of reasons, but none more significant than the fact that, obviously, Sonny Dykes is the new head coach at SMU. He's going to be across the sideline tomorrow night in Frisco. What do you think, you know, kind of extra level of incentive does that give, and will it be weird for you to look across and see him, and how do you think Louisiana Tech is preparing for a team that just got a coach about 6 days ago?
Yeah, it did add a fun twist to the thing, and I mean it's fun in a pure form. I mean, these guys aren't be playing every year, but they do have a, you know, a home and home lined up now, which is neat. And perhaps Skip and Sonny will still be at these schools. They're both coaches' sons who grew up living the life. They have a lot in common. They, you know, they lit up when they saw each other. I saw Sonny just by chance walking into the Cowboys practice thing the other day. I was all by myself. Walk around the building to meet the team, and here comes a guy, and I said, that looks like Sonny Dykes. He had his SMU warm-up suit on and his little sandwich that they give you after practice, you know.
Oh, yeah.
He was going somewhere, so I had to stand there and talk to him for a minute, and I'll tell you, for friends of his in Ruston, and he said today, you know, some of his best friends in the world are still there. He looks great, looked as healthy and happy as I've ever seen him. I think the year not on the field with TCU this year really did him a lot of good. You know, he got a new little boy who's, I guess, about a year and a half or two now. So he got the three little ones, a lot to keep keep up with. And I think it was great for him to get away from the game for a year, at least coaching it, and just being the offensive consultant for TCU. And he got to see how Gary Patterson runs his defense over there for TCU. So it probably made him a better coach. But he looked great. Skip said, you know, that you prepare for maybe coordinator tendencies or whatever, and you don't have that really in this situation because now all your offensive staff is gone for your opponent. But he says, you know, so now you prepare for players, and you figure they'll kind of do the same thing they've done all year. And Sonny laughed and said, well, we'll get you, Skip. We got a lot of triple option installed, you know, for Wednesday, which, of course, they don't. But I wouldn't be surprised if they want run reverses and a flea flicker too. But the reality is that Sonny Dykes doesn't know his players. I mean, one of the TCU guys was telling me one of their three-year lettermen walked up to Sonny day for yesterday, hey, coach, glad to have you. You know, Sonny said, hey, man, good to be here. And then when the kid left, he had to ask somebody who that guy was. So he's going to have to depend on his – he's just letting his defensive staff, who's still there, do that. And then he's got a graduate assistant who's an older guy who played the game for a long time. Yeah. And so he'll, you know, he'll be doing it in his sophomore quarterback who played all of last year after the starter got hurt in the first game. He'll be a player coach. And but I really think they're playing with house money. It, you know, they got nothing to lose. They're 7-5, so if they lose, they're still have a winning season. They lost three of their last four games. Their coaching staff is gone. So it just depends on how the players actually show up. It's not going to be, I don't think, the coaches tomorrow night, especially for SMU. It'll be the players and maybe what Sonny or the guys who are still there can say to them, but, you know, maybe they won't care that much, and maybe they will. A lot of bowls are about, you know, winning the morale battle and how important it is to you to put all the fun aside and flip the switch at bowl time and try to do what you're there to do, which is win the game. So only the players probably know. But that's an interesting dynamic for tomorrow's game. I don't think the Bulldogs could really, you know, do anything special one way or the other. Sonny hadn't had a chance to do a whole lot, you know, even learn his guys' names. He sort of knows the offense, and he said he got to grind it one day with the graduate assistant, the quarterback. It made sense after about an hour and 45 minutes. But he'll let the other fellas pretty much run the show, and if it comes down to going for it on fourth down or kicking a field goal, you know, he'll do all that kind of thing. Fun dynamic to add to this game, though.
And, Teddy, looking at Louisiana Tech season, obviously it hasn't gone like all of us wished it would have gone, Tech finishing up at 6-6. But nonetheless, the Bulldogs are in their fourth consecutive bowl. And one player that's quickly become a fan favorite has been freshman cornerback Amik Robertson. I know you had the chance to interview Amik, and I saw a pretty cool story that you did with him on LATechSports.com. So what was it like just getting to know Amik and just seeing that competitive side of him that Louisiana Techs have grown to love in just a few short months?
Okay. He's thanks for reading that. And, you know, we got a lot of stuff at LATechSports.com. He's going to keep up there. And tomorrow's signing day, right after 3, they'll do some videos and a story before the team goes to the stadium. So you can go there to get some of that stuff too. But I texted him, said, hey, don't forget I'm going to holler at you, Larry, this evening. And he texted me back, yes, sir. So he's you know, respectful. Nobody ever calls me sir. It's been you and Sutton, nothing. So that was sort of refreshing and surprising. But he's real, it's just all fun to him. And he's real intense on the field. And, you know, he bawled his eyes out after the Carolina game. It means a lot to him. He said, you know, I was second team this year off conference. I wanted to be first team. I wanted to be All-American. And when he says it, you don't think he's being cocky or anything. He just expects a lot out of himself. But he's just a joy. He's a joy to watch. If he was a junior this year, I'm not sure that Tech might have won a couple of those games close if they lost. You know, he just his presence, or he might have said something or been coaching up the younger ones all year long. Y'all kind of know what I mean. Having you know, played ball and been around it, he's a difference maker, and I think he'll be a good leader as he continues to grow. He's a little charm bracelet size guy, but he's He's got a vertical leap out of the world, as you saw in the UTSA game on end zone interception. And just the passion he brings to what he does, anybody who's happy about what they do, plumber, teacher, preacher, radio broadcaster, it makes you feel good to see somebody attacking with joy their craft. And that's what he does. He and LeJarius Sneed were the last two kids off the bowl practice fields every day back home. They're, you know, covering each other and trying to trick each other with routes. And that's a freshman and a sophomore you're talking about. So Kevin Curtis, the corner coach, is a lucky guy to have him. And they're going to really have to play well, I think, tomorrow night.
Absolutely.
40 points a game offense is.
Yeah, absolutely, Teddy. You nailed it, I think. And, you know, Amik is a guy who gets out there and immediately lights up the field and lights up the stadium with the energy he plays with. And you mentioned it. They're going to need it tomorrow night against SMU's pair of darlings, Cortland Sutton and Trey Quinn, both 1,000-yard receivers, both look to be highly projected NFL draft picks. So what are Amik and LeJarius and the guys back there going to have to do to really keep those guys at bay and get Louisiana Tech's offense back on the field?
Well, I think they're going to have to trust them playing man against those guys, so you make it bring some people. And then, you know, if you're going to play zone, I mean, you got to stay where you are and you can't over pursue. SMU is, they can play fast and loose tomorrow night. So misdirections and things like that, if you remember the first quarter against Florida Atlantic, they got the Bulldogs with a couple of, well, three or four misdirection plays early to get a lead, and so everybody needs to stay home, and you know, Amik and LeJarius especially, that's just the nature of that position, is a lot's going to be required of you out there. This is only the second game they've played on grass this year. The other one was in South Carolina, and it's a real thin surface. They've got it covered now with a huge tarp. It's going to be kind of slick, and I just, you know, you always want to tackle well, but especially tomorrow night. Miss a tackle, the guy behind you slips, and, you know, you're playing a team that scores 40 a game, so you can't afford a lot of that kind of stuff.
Well, great stuff, Teddy. We appreciate you joining us tonight on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, and we're looking forward to a fun one tomorrow night at the DXL Frisco Bowl.
Thanks for all y'all do for the sports fans around here, fellas, keeping everybody in the loop. I appreciate y'all, and thanks for being my friend. Merry Christmas, and I'll talk to you soon, I hope.
Thanks, Teddy. Appreciate it. Always a pleasure. Great friend of the program, Teddy Allen. Check out his work on LATechSports.com. One of the most gifted writers out there and a guy who has done so much for this program and one that I know we love to have on a lot.
Yeah, and you can also listen to he and the Hall of Famer, Dave Nitz, tomorrow night. Pregame show starts 5:30 p.m. Game will be broadcasted on KXKZ 107.5. John Tabor will be producing. Following the game, Mark Kramer we'll have the call-in show. I know I'll be in Dallas at the ball game. I will call in for a segment as well. Mark always does a great job with that call-in show. So be sure to listen to the Hall of Famer, Dave Nitz, if you're not able to make it over to Frisco tomorrow night.
Yeah, and you know, those guys are the best in the business. It'll be a great broadcast. And we'll have one more segment here coming up on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. So stay with us. We will preview the game. We'll ask some tough questions, maybe a hot take or two, and get you out of here and ready for the game tomorrow night. Join us for one more segment right here on Sports Talk 97.7. We'll be right back.
Wapo Tire Service has been a proud Tech sponsor for over 60 years. When Tech hits the court, it's game on. This weekend, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the knowledgeable staff at Wapo Tire get you safely to and from the game. With brake repair, alignment, computer diagnostic, plus all your major brands of tires, including Michelin and BF Goodrich. Wapo Tire Service Superstore, a name you can trust. Ruston, West Monroe, or visit WapoTire.com.
The Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show is brought to you in part by O'Neill Gas. O'Neill Gas offers propane delivery to homes and businesses throughout North Louisiana. For more information, go to O'NeillGas.com.
Yep, it's hunting season, and you think it's too late to get that new deer stand. Hey, at Ideal Portable Buildings and Trailer Sales, it's never too late. Get a custom-built box stand from Ideal, exactly like you want it, and get a real good price on it, too. Plus, Ideal has the right utility trailer for any hauling you need to do.
Haul it, cover it, or store it. Ideal Portable Buildings and Trailer Sales. 699-9426. 699-9426.
First National Bank. The Uncommon Bank. Banking on a first name basis. Uncommon. People, service, and convenience. Uncommon. Dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank. Beyond banking with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank. The Uncommon Bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
Feed a big hunger on a small budget with the new menu at Scott's Catfish and Seafood. 9 full meals under $10. Every Tuesday night, buy one burger po' boy or quesadilla, get another burger po' boy or quesadilla at half price. Cool weather's a great time for gumbo and etouffee. And don't forget the catfish and shrimp lunch buffet. No time to dine in? Use the drive-thru and get a family meal starting at $16.99 at Scott's Catfish and Seafood.
Down home cooking from Scott's tonight.
Ruston, West Monroe.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio as we wrap it up. Louisiana Tech, SMU, tomorrow night, 7 p.m. DXL Frisco Bowl, don't miss it. Should be a fun one. One high-powered offense, one offense that Louisiana Tech has that will be high-powered tomorrow
night. Yeah,
has
the ability to be high-powered.
Yeah, they'll definitely stick it to Sonny Dykes and his non-existent defenses. Just real quick, Florida Atlantic leading the Boca Raton Bowl 36-3.
Typical.
Lane Kiffin goes for two after that last touchdown, just to put a little icing on the cake. Mid-third quarter, 36-3.
I'm telling you, that guy never ceases to amaze me. Everything he does is just absolute can't-miss television. So, always a pleasure to have him around Conference USA for the next 10.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Hey, a new tradition of Bleed Tech Blue Radio has kind of been in this last segment to ask each other some tough questions, some not so tough questions, and some
I got
fun
one
questions.
For you to start us off.
Yeah, ask, go ahead.
17 seniors putting it on for the final time tomorrow night. I'd say 17 guys that have changed the program. They left it better than they found it. What will you remember most about this senior class?
Well, this is a group of guys that, you know, has really left a mark here. I think would this make Skip Holtz's first full recruiting class?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's his fifth year, first five-year guys.
First guys who have come in and left with Skip Holtz. And, gosh, it seems like they've been here forever. I mean, these are guys who you will remember forever. I know, starting off with Boston Scott, you know, senior leader, a guy who has made more than an impact, not only on the field but off the field with this team, one that – I think he will be remembered for a long time. He's a guy that is a high character guy, a guy that really inspires his teammates to be not only better players but better people. And I think that's something that you can't coach, you can't teach, and you're just born with. And so he's a guy that will be missed. I know Jonathan Barnes, you know, could go down as the best kicker in Tech history. Statistically, he is the best kicker in Tech history.
Statistically, he's the best Tech's ever had.
And he's a guy.
There's something to be said for that.
He's a guy that Skip Holtz trusts and loves, and it'll be weird to see someone else other than number 10 back there kicking field goals. Talk about a couple of these seniors that mean a lot to you and have left an impact in your eyes.
Yeah, I think when you look at guys like, you know, the guys that don't get all the glamour, a guy like Deldrick Canty, defensive end, four-year starter. He just goes out there. He does his job. He's not going to rack up a high sack total, but he's going to set the edge defensively, make plays in the run game. He's a guy that every football team needs. He's a true leader. He's a captain. You look at Cedric Cooper on the back end of the defense out of Marrero, Louisiana. He's had an outstanding senior season and has really grown as a player. And then another guy, a guy like Elliot Blankenship, senior safety, former walk-on, has earned a starting spot in the second half of the year. Just all these guys, 17 seniors. In the last 4 years, these guys have wrapped up 33 wins. I think that'd probably be close to most a Tech senior class has ever had. Four consecutive bowl games, looking for their fourth consecutive win. fourth consecutive wins. So these guys mean so much to the program, and it's been a joy to watch these guys for 4 years.
Yeah, a couple more guys you want to mention is guys like Jared Kraft, and then obviously you mentioned Cedric Cooper and his partner back there, Demarion King.
Yeah, King was a nice junior college addition.
And then Russell Ferris is a guy that will be missed.
Linebacker, yes.
He's been a steady presence there for a long time. So great seniors that I know we will miss and have left a huge impact on this program. Okay, next big question. We're talking about guys who are leaving, guys who are taking off. Tomorrow starts early signing period. What do you, in your eyes, are the biggest areas of need for Tech coming into this new recruiting year? And then how do they plan to fill that, and what guys on the board do we have that you think would be welcomed additions to a team that's losing a lot of quality players?
Well, I think first and foremost, you look at left tackle. Josh Outlaw has been tremendous stepping in for Darryl Brown the last 2 years. He's done an outstanding job at left tackle, and I'll be honest, I think Michael Rodriguez will shift over from right tackle to left tackle in 2018, but Tech's probably going to go the junior college route. I know they have a couple of targets that they're looking at. Like I said earlier, we've actually caught up with a JUCO offensive tackle earlier today. He visited Ruston this past weekend. Join us at BleedTechBlue.com, just $9.95 a month. Tech has to fill a spot at tackle. I know they got two young tackles they're recruiting in Christian Henderson out of Mississippi and Byron Rossell out of West Memphis, Arkansas. So, you know, that for me is a big spot. And then again, is at linebacker. JUCO linebacker Brandon Floyd is already on campus out of Trinity Valley to help replace the loss of a guy like Russell Ferris, a guy like Demarion King, a guy like Elliot Blankenship. I think you'll see Tech add another JUCO linebacker or two. But those two positions for me, left tackle, offensive tackle, and linebacker are two biggest areas of need in Tech's recruiting class. And I think you'll see them land a couple of nice ones tomorrow morning and into the afternoon.
Yeah, and like you said, we'll keep you posted on all things recruiting on the early signing period tomorrow, so stay with us on our social media and on our site as well. And we encourage you to subscribe to our site. Now's the best time to do it. Tomorrow may be the biggest day of the fall for Louisiana Tech. So tune in with us at Bleed Tech Blue. One more question for you, Ben, before we get into maybe a quick little preview of SMU and Louisiana Tech tomorrow night and maybe make our picks and some hot takes. Announced today that Tech was signing a home-and-home deal with SMU for 2021 and 2023. And I want to mention Bleed Tech Blue, especially,
we broke that news
more
first.
Specifically yourself, broke the news before anyone else, which is huge for us and something we're really proud of. 2021, Louisiana Tech will travel.
No, SMU will come here in 2021.
Perfect. And then Louisiana Tech will return the favor in 2023. So that raises the question. Are there any teams, let's say, in these other strong G5 conferences like the American Athletic Conference and the Mountain West that you think would be good home-and-home candidates for Louisiana Tech, maybe teams you want to see them match up with in the future?
Yeah, obviously in years past we've seen Tech match up with the likes of Houston, which was a quality matchup. I'd like to see Tech play a team like Memphis. I'm not sure Memphis is particularly fond of Louisiana Tech, but that's a quality G5 program that would provide an intriguing matchup. I'd love to see the two schools commit to play a home-and-home. I know Tech has home-and-home lined up with UNLV in future years, which that's a nice Mountain West school, not particularly extremely strong, but you know, there's always the dream of getting Boise State back to Ruston.
Exactly.
And I'll be honest, I think that's a pipe dream. I don't think Boise has any interest in coming down here from a travel standpoint. I don't think Tech has much interest in trying to get to Boise, Idaho from a travel standpoint. But on the field, I would love to see it.
Well, and, you know, with the exception of a couple, every school in the Mountain West are schools that used to play in the WAC with Tech.
Nevada,
Utah State, Hawaii,
Fresno.
Yeah, Fresno State, Boise State.
I'd love
Jose
to play
State.
Any of those schools.
Yeah, that would be a fun. I know for Tech fans from kind of you and I's generation, that's kind of the schools you're used to Tech playing is the Hawaiis, the Boise States, the Nevadas, the Fresno States. So that would be really fun. I think Boise State, you know, I watched one of the best games I've ever seen in Joe Ia Stadium when they
number
came.
Eight Boise State.
Yeah, and
Dennis Morris
over
I can't remember.
Kyle
Wilson.
Kyle Wilson used to play, first-round pick, former first-round pick. So that place was rocking, and that was the Matt Nelson
bunt
kick, actually.
Yep.
I think that was when they went to Boise, but that's beside the point.
Let's go ahead and get to it.
Yeah, I think, you know, one thing we got to do before we leave is we got to predict tomorrow night's game.
Tough transition for us there, but we got to get out of here. So
let's
get to our hot takes.
We got to get some hot takes in here, and then we got to preview this thing and get you on to the game. So, Ben, I want to know your hot take of the week going into the DXL Frisco Bowl tomorrow night.
Tech defense stifles SMU throughout the night, holds the Mustangs to under 30 points. I'm not sure that's much of a hot take.
No, that is.
But I think that's a pretty big hot take. I think Blake Baker's defense has had adamant time to prepare. I'm not sure G.J. Kinney's up for the task. I'm not sure redshirt sophomore quarterback Ben Hicks is up for the task. I think you come out and you see the Bulldog defense continue what they started in their last game out against UTSA and hold SMU to under 30 points.
I like that. I like that prediction. I am going to go on the other side of the ball, and I have two. One is I think Jamar Smith will be turnover-free, throw for 300 yards, and a pair of touchdowns.
Oh, I love it. I think we have a good chance, I think Tech has a good chance to win if that's the case.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, you put the ball in your playmaker's hands, and you don't turn the ball over, and you've always got a chance. My second one is that I think Jalen Ferguson will have two sacks at least tomorrow night. I think he's going to finish it off.
That'd be a nice finish to the year.
Finish off this season on a high note and you know, remind us that he's the player that we think he is.
Absolutely. So you've heard it. Under 30 points. Jalen Ferguson has two sacks. Jamar puts together his best game of the year, 300-plus yards, two touchdowns.
He's got the opportunity to do it against this defense.
Absolutely. So now it's prediction time. Louisiana Tech, SMU, 7 p.m., DXL Frisco Bowl. Let's go first to our producer, John Tabor. Who you got tomorrow night, Tabes?
No, I like Tech, 38-35.
Oh, wow. Thriller. Another thriller. Does Barnes win it on a late field goal?
Yes, Barnes goes out a hero.
Oh, wow. I'd love it. That'd be a storybook ending.
Man, 2 years in a row, Barnes wins it at the buzzer. That would be incredible. Ben, what you got for us?
I'm going to say Tech pulls this one out 34-26.
34-26, so over 30 points for Tech, under 30 for
8-point
SMU.
Victory. I'm going to say, I'll support your hot take. Ferguson seals it with a strip sack late.
A strip sack late. Okay, I feel like we've been accused of being homers on this show a lot, and I don't ever want that reputation. I want to look at this game from an objective lens, and so I'm going to have to say that if you pin me down in a corner, I'm going to take SMU just strictly Vegas-wise, and I'll have them winning 31-27. But I think Louisiana Tech plays an amazing game against this weak SMU defense, and I think Jamar, like I said, has his best game of the year and puts together a nice performance. But SMU is talented, man. It's an offense that has weapon after weapon, and you can stop one, and they'll just hit you with the other. So
absolutely. So you heard it. Taves has the Dogs. I have the Dogs. Sutton has the Mustangs.
But I'm pulling for the Dogs.
Great show tonight. Louisiana Tech, SMU, 7 p.m. tomorrow night. Don't forget, National Signing Day. We'll be up bright and early. We'll have it covered. You can join us on BleedTechBlue.com. For just $9.95 a month.
Most exciting day of the year.
Most exciting day of the year. You can follow us on Twitter at BleedTechBlue, or you can follow us on Facebook at BleedTechBlue. Just a reminder, we will not be on the air next week due to Christmas. So
have a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely. Have a Merry Christmas, and we'll talk to you, I guess, in 2018.
See you in 2018 from all of us at Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Go Dogs. We'll see you tomorrow night from Frisco, Texas. Talk to you soon.
Oh,
Listen for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank, every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Go deep inside tech football, basketball, and recruiting with your host, Ben Carlisle. Also brought to you by National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Delta Broadband, Ideal Portable Buildings, Brister's Smokehouse, and Fairway Carts. Thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
Loss of control of the ball, or the ball shifts in his hands, and it's turned out to be an incomplete. If you catch the ball and your knee is down, that's where the ball and the play should be called dead.
He clearly had possession until the ground, and because the rule is, oh, no, he's going to the ground, so he really hasn't completed the catch yet. It doesn't matter if he's crossed the goal line. That's where you're starting to lose.
Do you agree with me? Do you agree that when the knee goes down, the play should be called dead? If you're still falling forward, and you come down, say you're falling forward and your knee doesn't hit the ground, but the ball does, I get it incomplete. But if you're falling forward and the knee goes into the ground, there's a divot where your knee's in there, then I believe that the play should be called dead right there. And we shouldn't wait for the play to extend another half second and another half yard to see if the hand can secure the football.
So you're saying when the receiver's knee is down, the play is over, whether he is touched down or not. So it would be like college football, which they say is a safety thing, so people don't pile on and so forth.
Yeah, I would be fine with that, because at least we'd know that he had possession and the knee was down.
And they could get away with it crying safety and say it has nothing to do with replay, because anything, of course, that has to do with safety, who could possibly argue with that?
Well, coming up next from the Geico Studios, have we seen the last of the Legion of Boom? The great Softy Maller from KJR in Seattle will join us after Steve DeSager gets us caught up to speed.
Must update this college basketball game. At 11th-ranked Wichita State, they're losing at home to Arkansas State with about 10 minutes left, 63-62. And a superb freshman, if you haven't seen him yet, for Oklahoma, 17th-ranked Sooners whip Northwestern State, 105-68. Freshman Trey Young with 26 points and 22 assists tonight. At the moment, he is leading the nation in scoring and in assists. In the NBA, we have three games tonight. Washington beat New Orleans 116-106. Final seconds, Kings are leading at Philadelphia thanks to a fourth-quarter comeback, 100-95. And the Cavaliers, with a five-game winning streak on the line, still losing at Milwaukee. Mid-third quarter, Bucks 82-70. Cleveland at the moment has won 18 of its last 19 games. Golden State Steph Curry will miss at least another week with his sprained ankle, so he will miss the game against the Cavs on Christmas. The Spurs will rest Kawhi Leonard and Tony Parker tomorrow at Portland. San Antonio plays at Utah the next night. Lakers center Brooke Lopez will miss at least 3 weeks with a sprained ankle. In college football, yes, there's a bowl game tonight. It's end of three quarters on Florida Atlantic's home field in Boca Raton, 36-3. Owls over the Akron Zips, a team that will be 7-7 after tonight. And tomorrow night's bowl game is Louisiana Tech against SMU. In fact, JT, no more ranked teams are playing in bowl games until December 28th. Almost 10 days away. And that night, FS1 will have a top 20 matchup in the Holiday Bowl. Washington State
I'm going. That's where I'm going to be next. Yeah, I'm going. We go to the Holiday Bowl every 2 out of 3 years. We love going down there. A lot of fun for that. Dave Softy Maller joins us, the great sports talk host, the legend in Seattle on KJR from 3 to 6:30 on Sports Radio 950. And Softy, I don't want to flame this and get you going, because I'm not one of the lunatics who think this is the end of the Pete Carroll era after that 42-7 blowout win by the Rams, but a lot of chatter around the country. I'm sure you're hearing it.